How's it going, everybody? You've made it to episode 10 of Mic'd Up. This is the final episode of season one, and we're reporting to you live on Wednesday morning, July 10th. Happy to have you here. So I'm Mike Foligno alongside my co-host, Chris Beggy. How you doing?
Yo, Mike, I'm doing pretty good. What about you?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, had a great day at work. Very excited about what we have in store for the listeners. And I'm sure they're really excited about this being the final episode before season two starts up. But why don't we get started with the Women's World Cup that wrapped up this past Sunday. Sweden actually defeated England on Saturday for the third place game. Neville stated that there was no time for a third place game after this loss. So I guess England really wasn't in it for the win. But on Sunday, USA played Netherlands, and they set the record for goals in a Women's World Cup, surpassing Germany with 26.
Wow.
That's impressive. But they won the game 2-0. Megan Rapinoe had a PK in the 60th minute from a foul on Alex Morgan. It was like a high kick and a dangerous play that went to VAR. It was later decided it was a penalty. It was Rapinoe's 50th international goal, and this put her as the leader in the Golden Boot race. Seven goals in the tournament. And she's 34 years old, making her the oldest player to score in a Women's World Cup final. So what do we make of that? What did Rapinoe do here?
You know, talk about this whole women's team, just validation. They came in, were the favorites. There was like heavy competition this year, but they really showed that they're still the best and that the world's still got to catch up with them. And yeah, Megan Rapinoe just really showed out her best World Cup by far at the age of 34. And yeah, just watching this whole team was like, it was such an exciting run, honestly.
And I've seen a bunch of reports about the team showing up drunk to team celebrations, and people are bashing them for it, but they just won a World Cup. Let it be.
You have to. I mean,
yeah, you got to celebrate a little bit. You just defeated everybody, and I think they only let in one goal all tournament. Let them celebrate. I mean, in the other Americas, we have the Copa America that ended on Sunday as well. But same thing, Saturday was the third-place game. Argentina actually won the third-place game against Chile 2-1. However, Messi was sent off with a very questionable red card in about the 40th minute, and they were already up 2-0. Both Aguero and Dybala scored earlier in the game, and Vidal scored right after that. But all in all, it was just horrible, horrible, horrible officiating in the tournament, and you can't really ask anything else besides were the refs paid. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, yeah, I mean, whenever, like, bad officiating, especially in soccer, comes into play, it's never a good thing. And especially when it, like, affects a game of this magnitude, the Copa America. And Messi, did he even come out for the celebration there? I kind of heard rumors he didn't.
No, he stayed in and basically said Copa America officials rigged, and he didn't really want to receive a third-place medal for a rigged tournament.
Yeah, I can't blame him there at all.
And I mean, there's a lot of people coming after him right now. I know Marquinhos and Thiago Silva are saying things about him. And also Dani Alves, who's a close friend of Messi's, is speaking out against him. So not really sure what to make of it. But I mean, Brazil in the final, they did play Peru and they were actually able to pull that one out. I think it was a 3-1 victory, two goals in the first half. And I believe it was Everton off of Jesus' assist. And then Jesus had a goal later in the first half. He was actually sent out in the second half. Two yellow cards, pushed the VAR computer as he was walking off the field. I saw a guy sprint over to it to keep it upright, like they don't have the money for another one. But unbelievable turn of events in Copa America. Really thought Peru might have been able to capture something, at least one more goal to tie it up after Jesus was sent off. But, you know, Brazil sealed the deal at 3-1. The last tournament on Sunday that ended was the Gold Cup. This was a big, big question mark for many U.S. soccer fans. Moving forward, we really don't know exactly what to make of this team, but they lost 1-0 to Mexico. And Soldier Field was a packed house, let me tell you. Packed. But it was packed at the wrong side.
Yeah, hostile crowd there.
Yeah, 90% was Mexico fans. 10% were Americans. In a final of a major tournament, the first real competition that Greg Berhalter has been at the helm of. He's been in charge of friendlies, but this is the first real competition, and it was 90%, 10%. Horrible, horrible look for the U.S. But zero yellow cards were shown. Jozy Altidore was choked and right in front of the ref. Nothing was done. Weston McKennie steps in.
Great player there for the U.S. Will really be a part of this so-called golden generation coming up. We've yet to see them really really take hold of the reins here. But I'm hoping hoping McKinney's like a big piece moving forward there for U.S. soccer. I really like Zach Steffen in goal. I feel like it's a good generation coming up, but I mean, they're just going to have to start getting results and kind of getting the nation like into this team again. Because, I mean, results like that, I mean, I know Mexico's a good team, but at the same time, you got to win games like that to get the nation back into it.
Without a doubt. And the big issue, obviously, I love having McKinney and Pulisic together in that midfield. But yeah, they did keep Bradley on the whole game. He did look fairly good in the first half. He was able to do what Michael Bradley does best, and that's sit in, distribute diagonal balls. And there were a couple chances actually created off of Bradley balls to the corner. And, you know, it seemed like everything was coming together for him first half. There was a lot of applied pressure from the U.S. on the Mexican defense. They looked like they were going to take this game to Mexico. They really did. Second half rolls around. Bradley looked like he could have used an oxygen tank. I mean, he was a liability defensively. Altidore obviously shouldn't have finished the chances he had. And, you know, it's tough because what was it, 7 minutes in, he missed the wide open chance 15 yards out. You know, you got to bury those if you're looking to beat Mexico, especially in that hostile environment. But Tim Ream, I don't want to shit on the guy. He's not playing in his position. He's a center back playing left back for the U.S. So he's going to get exposed. And when Mexico switched Pizarro out to the right, it was just horrible to watch Tim Ream have to defend that. He can't do it. He's not as fast. He's not as skilled. Pizarro's going to go right by him, and it happened the whole time. So I really wasn't sure what Berhalter was doing. Wasn't making any subs in the midfield. Didn't switch things up in the back at all, with Ream getting just blown away the whole second half.
That's a tough position right there. And to have a guy who's, not as fast, like, if you're just getting beat, I mean, it takes a toll on his confidence, and you're just going to keep getting beat at that point.
It's tough. And yeah, I mean, U.S. fans, yes, there was some positives from this tournament. I mean, we outscored teams, was it 11 or 12 nothing in the group stage, maybe more. So not great competition, but they did look good. They were quality against these opponents. So I can't really bash them for that. But in other soccer news around the world, one of these that I'm going to bring up is fairly old, but I feel like he should be recognized now because we didn't bring him up in earlier weeks. But Fernando Torres, he retired from professional soccer recently. I really just had to note this. Like, he was bought from Liverpool in 2011 for $50 million. He was the most sixth most expensive player ever at the time. He had 81 goals in 142 games with Liverpool. Like, that blew me away. I mean, he was unbelievable. And now you're looking at players like Harry Maguire, who was going for close to $90 million Leicester wants for him. That's not how things should work. Harry Maguire hasn't done anything. Fernando Torres was a winner. He won the Champions League in 2012. World Cup winner with Spain in 2010 and won two Euros in 2008 and 2012 for $50 million. Yeah, he was a great player. Harry Maguire, not worth it. Aaron Robin is the other one. He just retired this past week. He's 35 years old. He was struck by injury throughout his career, but he was very much the master of the very much expected. Cut inside, left-footed far post curler, and you know exactly what's going to happen when he cuts in. He was unbelievable. He scored goals in the UCL final against Dortmund back in the day. I think it was 2012 or 2013. It's crazy to go back again about the money that was spent for him. Bayern paid $25 million in 2009 for Robin from Madrid. Harry Maguire, $90 million again. It's horrible what money is doing right now, but I just wanted to point those things out. We're also going to talk a little bit about the MLB All-Star Weekend on this podcast. So all the MLB fans out there, tune it up a little bit. But the Home Run Derby happened on Monday night. Chris?
Yeah, this was, I mean, going into it, I knew this was going to be a great Home Run Derby. You just had like a lot of good young talent there. And the matchups were all really good. Going in, my prediction obviously was Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers, just having a huge year. But right before he had to pull out due to a back injury. Last night, I mean, it was as billed, very entertaining. One round between Vlad Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays and Jock Peterson of LA went on about like three or four rounds. Vladdy Jr. won it in the end, but I mean, just really got their money's worth there in Cleveland. Pete Alonso of the Mets took it in the end. And I don't know, LA Dodger Stadium next year is going to be a hard one to beat. This year, really lived up to the hype. And I really can't wait for tonight's All-Star game. You got Justin Verlander on the mound for the AL, and you got Ryu, the first Korean to start in the All-Star game. He's starting for the NL. And, yeah, it should just be a great game tonight. Cleveland got a beautiful night for it. Hopefully it'll be a packed house there and just some good baseball. The Midsummer Classic's always always a good one.
And we'll be sure to tune into that one. It's at 7:30 Tuesday night on Fox. Our next big segment in this week's podcast is NBA free agency. Some big things happened in free agency this past week. Obviously, Kawhi is going to the Clippers for 4 years, $142 million. Chris, this was huge for you. Huge. I know you were talking about it. You're a Toronto fan. And what do you think of this? Nick Nurse really wasn't too mad about it. I can't be either, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, I hate to be the bandwagon here, but I got to be a Clippers guy now. I mean, Paul George has always been my other favorite too. And, but yeah, I mean, I feel like Toronto, they'll be back still. Like, they got a good core. I mean, I know they lost Danny Green and Kawhi, but you still got Siakam there. You got, I believe they took the Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, Kyle Lowry, Marcus Gasol. So it'll still be a good team. But yeah, the LA Clippers, I mean, I've never been more excited about a team in my life. To see Kawhi and Paul George together. I mean, I can't wait.
I thought it was a good pairing, you know. Paul George and Kawhi, both those two-way players in the NBA. Top three, I said, in this podcast, Clay's number two on that list, and Kawhi's number one. Paul George had put it three. But those two players together with Pat Beverly and Montrezl Harrell, one of the best defensive teams we've seen in a very long time. And they basically traded for both of them. I know the trade was technically for just Paul George, but they traded for Kawhi and Paul George when they made this trade. Kawhi wasn't going there unless Paul George came. They both wanted to return to Southern California. You know, Gallinari is a good player to lose, but at the same time, you're getting Paul George and Kawhi. Same with Alexander and all those picks. It's just, you got to take the chance. And actually, right after this, Russell Westbrook later demanded a trade. So the big thing with Westbrook, teams that are interested or teams that are listed as interested, Miami, Houston, and Detroit. What do you think is going to be the best fit for Westbrook?
You know, I know Miami is like everyone's kind of top pick for him right now, but I like his fit in Detroit because right now Detroit, obviously, with their stacked front court, you got Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and yeah, just to fit Westbrook in with those guys, with the Eastern Conference seeming to be wide open, Detroit really could make some noise with that team. Westbrook, I feel like with a fresh start there in Detroit and having those guys to feed the ball to, I mean, that would just be a good lineup right there. But, I mean, it's going to be weird for me seeing him away from OKC. Like, that's his home. I feel like he's always been there, always been loyal to them. Yeah, it'll just be different next year without him there.
Going back to your thoughts on the East being wide open, I've had this conversation with a few people today, actually, in the past couple of days. Where do you think Toronto is going to finish in the East now?
I'll put them in at five, I think.
Fair. I got them around 4 and 5, similar numbers to you. I got the Bucks, in no particular order, the Bucks, Celtics, Sixers. And dependent on Oladipo's return, I'm hopeful that the Pacers can secure that 4 spot.
No, I 100% agree with that.
It'll be cool to watch the East play out this season. I'm really excited about it. You know, it's a conference that really needs the help right now. Yeah. So I hope it's very competitive. You know, it'd be cool to see.
But, and yeah, the whole league now, I feel like, is just going to be completely wide open. Like right now, I cannot point to one team that's going to run away with it. And I mean, I don't know how long I've been able to say that going into an NBA season.
In other news, the other LA team, the big brother, I should say, they acquired Danny Green for 2 years, $30 million. Boogie signed on a one-year deal worth $3.5 million, and Rajon Rondo re-signed for 2 more years. Who do you think is going to be the front runner of this, like, this season coming up now? Like, I know it's kind of wide open, but we got to pick someone here.
Oh, I got to go the Clippers. I just think that that lineup of Kawhi and Paul George, when they're both healthy there, and Paul George comes back from the shoulder injury, their defense, again, yeah, will be hard to beat. And, so right now I got them as the front runner, but, I mean, that could definitely change. What about you? Who are you thinking?
I think it's going to stay in L.A.
Yep.
I think it's going to be the Lakers. However, If it's not the Lakers, I think it's going to be the Clippers. It truly looks to me like it's going to be whoever comes out of that Western Conference is really going to win the title. And yeah. I think the Lakers now, having the sense that they have a shooter in Danny Green and a pretty solid defender in Danny Green, they got Avery Bradley as well. This happened on Tuesday. They also re-signed Rondo, like I said earlier, so great defensive presence. LeBron is going to be starting at point guard offensively. That is something
That's huge.
Should have been done years ago in his career. He has been the point guard regardless. He just needs shooters around him. And this is the first time I've really seen them try to build those types of players around him. Anthony Davis being the player that he is, like him and LeBron together, it's a pretty solid team, you know?
Yeah.
And that brings back the all-star memories when they play together. So I really do like the Lakers, but like I said, I think it's going to stay in LA regardless. The Clippers are definitely close seconds for me.
All right. Now, Mike, this like the Western Conference here is absolutely loaded. I mean, you got like 10 or 11 really quality teams there. Like which team do you think is going to get left out? And maybe even multiple teams think are going to get left out that are pretty good.
You know, to start, I do think the Lakers are going to jump up into the playoffs. So they're definitely going to kick somebody out regardless. And I think that first team out is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be losing Russ. They lost Paul George. They lost Jeremy Grant on Tuesday as well. I think they're pretty much as good as gone in the playoff hunt there. I also saw San Antonio did pick up Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics on Tuesday as well. But I don't think that's going to be enough. I think the Spurs are going to be left out as well.
Yep.
But to take that spot, I'm really riding with the Kings. I mean, they were ninth last year. They were a solid team. They added a little bit more talent in Harrison Barnes as well. I know there's a few more players that they picked up, but I think the Kings are going to be on the hunt for the playoffs. And I think the Jazz are going to be the number two seed or number three seed in the West. I think it's going to be Clippers and Lakers and Jazz in the top three. And then after that, it's just going to be probably Portland or Golden State, Denver possibly. You know, they're always in the hunt. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, looking at this this whole conference, all 15 teams, I mean, there's not – I mean, minus probably the Thunder once they lose everybody. There's not really a bad team in this group here. I mean, every team, even if they're not going to get a ton of wins, they're going to be exciting to watch. But I think a notable team that's probably going to miss out here is the I got to think the Timberwolves are going to be close. I mean, they got a ton of talent there. They got Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. They picked up Jordan Bell from the Warriors. They're going to be an exciting team, but I think they're going to just miss out on the playoffs. And I could see possibly the Portland Trailblazers finishing ninth, maybe missing out. And, I mean, that's a good team right there. To not make the playoffs. But again, I've never seen a conference like this loaded with teams that could make the playoffs. And there's going to be a lot of good teams missing out, which, I mean, will be exciting to watch.
You know, and it kind of makes you wonder a little bit. Obviously, the Western Conference is stacked as it is. You would think that the East, now it is wide open, but you would think that the East would be one of those conferences where there's not that many great players. But I would argue the East is getting better as a conference.
Yes.
I think basketball lately has just been getting better, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously no one expected Toronto to actually pull it off this season. But I think that really did something in the East. A lot of teams are trying to build that Eastern Conference to become a better conference. Yes, they have some weaker teams, but the top teams there,
yeah,
I think
they're good.
Really can contend with the Western Conference. So I just wanted to point that out before we go bash in the Eastern Conference. But that's about all we have for you guys today. I'm really excited about the interview with our special friend, Joe the Accountant. Give it a listen after this advertisement. We'll see you guys in a little bit. We're happy to introduce to you guys our interviewee for the week. He is an auditing intern for Plant Moran, and someday he will audit your ass. He's an avid White Sox and Bears fan. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Joe Gosselin.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're a big fan? You've been listening for a while, huh, Joe?
Yeah. I mean, what is this, episode 12, 13 now?
No, 10, but you're pretty close. No, counting, okay. Counting's your thing, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
To start off the questions today, this is a very simple one to please the listeners. I'm sure they want to know, Joe. Are you a coffee drinker?
I am 100% a coffee
drinker. And how do you prefer
I think I have 4 cups today. You know, If I'm really trying to gift myself, I like a nice iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. If not, you know, the Keurig, because I'm too lazy to make a pot of coffee.
Fair enough.
That's what's just your ridiculous?
What's your favorite kind of K-Cup?
K-Cup? At my work, they've got these caramel, like, Frappuccino or something. It's fantastic. I don't know what the name is. It's caramel vanilla something. Fantastic.
I got to test it out. I got to see what they're feeding you over at Plant Moran. But in Chicago, there's a lot of debates on who's the better team, Cubs or White Sox. And I know you're a big, big White Sox fan. You want to walk us through a little bit of what's going on with them this season?
Okay. So as much as I am a White Sox fan, I'm a Cub hater. I hate the Cubs. I hate their fans.
Oh.
I mean, the whole North Side is just pretentious people. I'm going to be PG here. People. So the White Sox have been in this rebuild for about 5 years now. Started with the Chris Sale trade and then the Adam Eaton trade and then the Jose Quintana trade. They're coming. The prospects are finally coming. We just pulled up Zach Collins a week or two ago. Not playing great, but, I mean, development time in the MLB. The beginning of the year, we brought up Eloy, who we got in the Quintana trade, and my man's is smacking dingers. The last few times we played the Cubs, he's hit a couple of homers. It's just, it's coming together. It's exciting. Once we spend a little money, because as you guys probably know, we went balls deep to get Machado. That didn't happen. So we've got all this extra money sitting around. And once we start spending it, it's going to be a good time to be a Southsider.
Fair enough. And I mean, right now you guys have a 0.01% chance of making the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
And not too shabby. It's better than last year.
You know, the Blues were the last team in the league when, what was it, January, and they ended up in the Stanley Cup. So you never know. But I just want to point this out. I literally knew one person on the team. Jose Abreu, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but only player only player I recognize on the White Sox, and it makes sense. I see he's third on the team in runs, second in hits, and first in ribbies. Pretty impressive, but then again, like, I don't know how long this guy's been around. I don't know the first time I heard his name. Like, has he been around a while? Or?
He is old for how long he's been in the pro, so they brought him up in when he was 26. And he's about 30-something now. He was a rookie at 26. So, like, he's been on the team longer than almost anybody else, I think. But he's a stud. Year after year, he's an all-star because AL first basemen are not great. But he's constantly got a solid batting average, leading the AL in RBIs, home runs. He's always there. So, he's there. And that, yeah, you don't know many people because they're all young kids. And I'm sure you don't follow the White Sox out in New York.
I know, as you mentioned, the White Sox are kind of nearing the end of a rebuild here, especially guys like Tim Anderson on the roster. I'm a diehard Cubbies fan, and your guys' rebuild kind of reminds me a lot of what the Cubs did a few years back when the talent of their young players are kind of making them more of an attractive free agent destination. With this said, like, what do you think are the best free agents that Chicago can look to add in the upcoming years?
So we're really looking at starting pitching. Over next offseason, I know Cole Hamels, Cubby. We really want veteran starting pitching, people who have been to the playoffs, people who can help our young pitchers. So I would say someone like Cole Hamels. Who's the guy that just went to the Astros and the Pirates? I'm drawing a blank here. Garrett Cole. Pretty sure I think next summer he's going to be a free agent. Starting pitching. We need a little more veteran depth in our relief because we just signed Herrera, our one big sign of the offseason. He's been a bust. Colome's solid. He's solid at our closer, but we might be trading him just to get something because he's killing it right now. So I would say a solid veteran at starting pitching, one or two. We've got all these young guys coming up. Dylan Cease just came up, another kid in the Cubs. He's going to be solid. So we just really need older vets to kind of come in and build this team up. And then I would say maybe one outfielder and one more utility guy, and I think we have a solid team. If you look at our offensive numbers, they're pretty good, but our pitching is just brutal.
And now going on pitching a little bit, what have you thought of the rise of Lucas Giolito? Do you think he is the ace going forward? especially after the departure of Chris Sale via trade a few years back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so last year he was actually one of the worst pitchers in MLB.
Nice.
He spent all offseason changing his throwing motion. So if you notice, it's not as out wide as it used to be. He tightened it up, and he's just had so much more control over the ball. His speed's still there. He's just, I mean, he's what, 12-2, 12-3 maybe? He's got two losses to the Cubs. They're hitting him well. I'll give you, but no, he's killing it. He won player of the month, pitcher of the month in, I think, May. He's a Cy Young candidate for sure. He's just got to keep his numbers down. But I think he's definitely number one going forward.
Also, folks, we're watching the home run derby currently. Vlad has, I believe, 27 home runs. So pretty notable news right there. Moving away from baseball, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears and the team that is just on the come up. They look like they have their time to shine right now with Mitch Trubisky just really hitting his stride. They drafted David Montgomery, added him to the backfield with Tariq Cohen. I mean, last year you guys were 11th in rushing yards, around 1,900, 1,950 throughout the year. 7th in rushing touchdowns with 16. What do you think about this pickup?
I like it. I know a lot of people around here love Jordan Howard just because he's a gritty dude, but he didn't fit the system. This guy fits the system better. He's more agile, whereas Jordan Howard just kind of pounded it up the middle. He really didn't fit the offense at all. So I think this guy is going to bring a little more, you know, versatility. And then with that, Cohen's going to be able to get more openings. Because, I mean, it was all Cohen last year, really. So this guy really helps him out, lightens a load, and gives him more opportunity to catch out the backfield and stuff like that.
And with the addition of HaHa Clinton Dix, they're really going to start solidifying the defense as well. But that defense is going to be battle-tested in the NFC North. I mean, you got Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, obviously Rodgers and Green Bay, which is one of the biggest tasks to deal with, and then Drew Stafford. So pretty loaded quarterback-wise. What do you think that defense is going to be able to do?
I mean, same as last year. They're going to murder the North. I have no doubt in my mind. We are going to just – oh, my God. When Aaron Rodgers gets sacked, the whole city of Chicago literally just, like, explodes. Watching that guy go down is better than anything in the world.
Like, so what you're saying is Chicago needs some Roman swipes.
Yes, exactly. Sponsored. Going off that, Stafford, he doesn't have much to work with. I mean, we're going to get him. Cousins, he's got weapons, but he really didn't play well versus us last year. I mean, maybe they can adjust, but I don't think so. I think we have too much firepower on that line and those backers. And then Rodgers, you know, he got us the first. That was really just the opening up of, like, our season.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Our first game with Mac. So we had a good game first half, second half. He kind of blew us up, but I'm sure we got him this year.
Moving on to our couple batches of random questions, Joe, that we have for you. My first one for you is, who is your favorite NASCAR driver, and why is it Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Okay, it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. because I don't watch NASCAR, and I have no idea.
Do you have a preference on this one? And I know this is a big, big debate. McDonald's or Wendy's?
Oh, McDonald's. God. McDonald's.
Ooh.
That was by a landslide. Wendy's is just becoming just this overrated, like, everybody loves their social media, like, oh, the 4 for $4. The food is not that great. McDonald's, I mean, they've been serving up all of my life, and I've never been disappointed once. So their McFlurry machines are down quite a bit. But other than that, solid.
Solid point. You know, I didn't even think of that. But, I mean, what is your go-to order at McDonald's?
Two McDoubles, a large fry, and a large Dr. Pepper.
Do you think Mitch Trubisky prefers a bowl or burrito from Chipotle?
Oh, he's a bowl with a tortilla on the side, just like you should do it. You get more of the meat and good stuff. You also get the tortilla, so you build your own burrito, pop that baby in the fridge, bring it out later in the night. You got two meals in one. I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
Being a Chicago guy, this might be a tough one for you, but would you rather see the Chicago White Sox win the World Series or be granted a lifetime Lollapalooza pass?
White Sox World Series. Like, no question. Lollapalooza is filled up with, like, a bunch of drunk 16-year-olds now. I mean, they're all, like, popping Molly and, like, dropping acid, so.
Well, we're going to move into our over-under segment. This is the segment where you just got to make your bets and make them wisely. But to start off with this one, we have the Bears wins tally at 9.5 over-under.
Easy, easy over.
Hitting the over, fair, fair. All right, Khalil Mack sacks, 12.5, which is the same amount from last year.
You know what? I'm probably going to go under on that. I just think they're going to be running. I mean, God, our rush defense is so good. I don't even know why. I just think, I mean, they're not going to be throwing the ball as much. Or maybe, I don't even know. I'm just going to say under just because.
Just because. All right. Haha, Clinton Dix, 2.5 interceptions. Last year, I think he had 3.
Over. I mean, this defense is going to be pressuring so much that he's just going to throw the ball up in the air, whoever the quarterback is. And then Clinton Dix just has to be there to clean it up.
Now, my thought on that, I'm probably going to bet that. If it was available to me, I would take a bet like that. Mainly because he played with Aaron Rodgers, or played with against him in practice for 4 or 5 years now. So that's 2 games a year where he's playing against the quarterback. He is seen day in, day out. I think Kaha Clinton-Dix gets a lot of interceptions this year, more than the past couple of years.
Yeah, he played in the North anyway, so he's seen Stafford a ton too. So, yeah, definitely the over.
The last over-under we have for you is 4.5 wins against division rivals in the NFC North.
4.5? Oh, over. I think we get the Vikings twice. We always get scary with the Lions. For some reason, the Lions always kind of like give us a good game, but I think we'll split with the Packers, 2 versus the Vikings, 2 versus the Lions.
All right, that's fair. So you're rolling with the 5, and then
yeah,
not bad. Now we got our recommendations of the week. Joe, this is where you've heard the podcast enough times. It's the song, show, game, about anything. What do you think everybody's got to be tuned into this week?
All right, so I am a big country guy. I'm Thomas Rhett guy, my man crush. Go get my boy listen. His album dropped a couple weeks ago. Just perfect summer music, perfect boat and a beer music.
Have fun with it. It's Toy Story 4. Great storyline. What's her name? Gabby, the girl that's... Yeah, I won't give the storyline away, but Gabby in the movie, she's a nutcase, let me tell you, but... Good movie. And last week, if you did listen to my recommendation, you'd have made some money. I told you guys to hammer it. So if you're listening now and you're really regretting your life, I told you so.
Got to be only a month away till college football season. Time for everyone to become a fan of the Wisconsin Badgers. They're going undefeated this year, taking the Big Ten.
I'm a Badger.
And it's time to jump on the Badger bandwagon, man.
Yeah, we got a nice little recruit there at quarterback, don't we? We got Hornibrook.
Yeah, Graham Mertz is he's about to tear it up this year.
Yeah, and we got JT in the backfield, so we're good. I'm a Badger fan, baby.
Love it.
Now we're on to our pick 'em segment, the final segment of the day, Joe. And we're going to start it off with Flintstone Vitamins or Fruit by the Foot?
Fruit by the Foot.
Really?
Flintstone Vitamins? Those things are like...
I mean, the only downside of Flintstone Vitamins is like the texture after, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, what do you mean? One's like candy, the other's medicine.
Yeah, but come on. Flintstone Vitamins, pretty nice. I'm going Flintstone Vitamins. Come on.
Gotta go Fruit by the Foot.
Yeah. That was too easy.
Adam Sandler or Buffalo Chicken Wing Dip?
Buffalo Chicken Wing Dip. The last good Adam Sandler movie was like 10 years ago.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What about that like murder mystery movie on Netflix? I've heard it's good.
I didn't see it because I was like, oh yeah, Adam Sandler, he hasn't had a good movie in 10 years.
Oh man, I'm going to pick Adam Sandler. Damn, Joe.
I got to agree with Joe again. Buffalo Chicken Wing Dip.
All right. Fair. This is for all those old-time sports fans out there. And, I mean, you could be a sports fan that just turned, say, 17, maybe. You'd still remember. But Old Sports Center like the old Sports Center when it was good Sports Center, yeah. Or your 21st birthday. Oof. Your 21st birthday night, I should say.
Oh.
You guys go first. Here's some factors you're putting into this.
I got to say old Sports Center. It's too much nostalgia and good memories with that. And so I got to go with that one.
I'm going to go with old Sports Center. My reasoning behind this is that when old Sports Center was relevant, it was when YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all those weren't relevant yet. So basically Sports Center was that those highlight reels all throughout the hour, and you could just tune in any time during the day and you'd see the greatest plays. Now it's just, oh, LeBron took a shit and he just tweeted about it. Or Anthony Davis is getting traded. I wonder what that means, what number he's going to pick. Like, I don't give a shit about that. I want to see top plays, like top 10, not top 10. Like, give me that old Sports Center back.
Okay. Yeah. You convinced me. I'm going to go old Sports Center. You know, like on our, like, summer day, your parents are at work and you like can't leave the house basically. You watch Sports Center 4 times in a row. Like, just just watching you're watching what you just watched like 2 hours ago again and again and again.
Exactly.
So much respect. I couldn't do that now. So yes, old Sports Center.
Our next one is white cheddar mac and cheese or Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies for sure. I'm not really a big fan of bowl either. I'm not really into either, so if I had to choose one, it'd be the one I'd go for more.
I don't know.
I could go white cheddar mac and cheese.
I'm going to give a shout-out to Mr. Matthew Wallace with our organic Annie's white cheddar mac and cheese. And this last one was catered to our fellow Browns fans, but we're going to cater it a little bit towards the Chicago boy and Joe Gosson here. How about the Bears going 10-6 or Philly cheesesteaks?
I mean, I think the Bears can go better than 10-6.
But this is a guaranteed 10-6.
No guarantee. I'll go cheesesteak just because I think they're gonna go 12. We're not going for a wild card, we know. We're going for it all.
Didn't you win the division last year at 10-6? It was 11-5.
I want the number one seed. Come on. I want that first round bye.
Who's kicking field goals for you guys now?
We're just going to go for 2-pointers the whole year. Secure wins.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate you hopping on the pod. It was a great episode to be on as it wraps up our season.
All right. Thanks for having me, boys. Appreciate it. That's all, folks.
Thanks for tuning in to the final episode of Season 1 of Mic'd Up. We appreciate every one of you listening week in and week out, and we can't wait to be back with more content with Season 2. In the meantime, follow Mic'd Up Pod on Instagram to stay up to date on everything Mic'd Up. That's MikedUpod. Follow them on Instagram to stay up to date, and we'll see you soon.